Award for Success Express, your business, career, and financial radio magazine. Hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Welcome, everybody, to today's Big Blend Radio Success Express Business and Career Show. Today, we're excited to have executive coach Terry Warren join us. He's going to talk about his new book, which is out today. It is called The Art of Choice, Making Changes That Count in Work and Life. So go get it. It's published through Books Fluent. You can go get it through Amazon, all your favorite bookstores. And if you have a favorite local bookstore, ask them to get it for you. You can also go to his website, warrenexecutivecoach.com. So welcome, Terry. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you today?
Oh, we're doing good. We're sizzling in the desert, in the high desert, yes, of Prescott, Arizona. Yeah. How's your weather out in Nashville land?
Yesterday, sizzling, not the same as yours, but today it dropped off a little bit. So it's just summer in Nashville.
Well, I'll tell you what, Nashville and Tennessee, your state is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. Nancy and I had the pleasure of going out and hanging out in the Cherokee National Forest last year. And we did a farm stay. We stayed at a couple of bed and breakfasts. And it was great. And speaking of choice, actually, one of the bed and breakfasts, the lady was retiring, and it was her choice to turn around and say, okay, it's time to retire. And you know, she came on our radio show and she sold her bed and breakfast the next day. It was actually a couple of months later, but she did good.
Pretty good, huh?
I thought that was
fantastic.
Good. Yeah, and she's right in the forest. And we were there during the fall season, which is just
spectacular. Oh, that's a perfect time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Highlands, North Carolina, when all the trees were that color, and it was just gorgeous.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, so the art of choice, this is interesting. We were talking about nature. Okay, immediately we go there because not only are you an executive coach, but you're a landscape painter as well. Some of your art's hanging behind you so people can see that. How does that connect? To me, I always think we need more accountants to do art.
Okay.
Well, you know, we want creativity in the workplace, and when we need creativity when it comes to, you know, not paying everything to everybody. I'm going to get in trouble now.
Yeah,
I don't want the IRS to listen to this.
Well, you know, what's interesting is what I found is, with my hair this color, is that for me, art informs life and life informs art. Mm. I mean, there are things that I've learned through growing as an artist that have application in coaching. And there are things that I have learned in coaching that have application in helping me become a better artist. Mm. So that's why the intentional decision to make it the art of choice.
I like that. I like that. And and choice, I mean, because art, you always have to make a choice. Am I going to do this or not? And things will change. Don't they change when you're starting to start a painting? Nancy's an artist as well. She's a wildlife artist primarily. And I know I've watched her paint. She has this whole layout and design. And then all of a sudden you can come back in her studio and it's completely different. It happens.
Like how I started out, nothing.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that, Nancy. Mm-hmm. And it's to, you know, it's the idea about one of the things I like about it, which I do think is like life. You know, sometimes you're at a stage where when you look at things, they don't look as good as you'd like them to look. That's true for me in painting. You know, I get to a stage where I hate the work that's in front of me.
Yeah.
And I want to rip it apart, throw it away, you know, whatever. But then sometimes it helps me to step back, even turn it backwards, bring it back, and rethink it. And to me, that's true with a lot of the work I do with clients in coaching. There are times that they need to put it aside, bring it back out, look at it differently. So that's how I work in art. There are stages that I can't stand.
Well, I think you're so focused, otherwise you can't paint. So you focus on something and the focus is so strong. Then you take a break and you come back and look at it and you're like, what was I thinking? You know, no, then you change your focus. So you go back and forth until you get, and what you're almost happy with, I don't know, of all the artists I've met, they're never really happy at the end. They're happy when they're finished because, geez, it's finally finished. But 3 days later, they're like, yeah, I wish I had done that. I wish I had done that. So you're always looking at, yeah. I could have done this. I could have done that. And that's why I think personally, you continue to paint. Not the same picture, hopefully, because that would make you nuts. But I think it just is looking at things from different windows. That's how I think of it in my mind is, okay, this window's kind of cool, but now let me go over here and look at it from a different window. Hmm. And lighting has a lot to do with it. Let's look at this in the sunset, look at it in the sunrise, high noon, which nobody wants to do, but sometimes it's actually pretty cool. You know, so you different ways of looking at the same thing. And the thing you're looking at, which we tend to forget, is always changing too.
And see, that's, in to me, that's one of, I use the word perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I talk to people, I probably every client that I work with in coaching, at some point, we need them to step back and look at things from a different perspective.
Mm.
And I'll tell people that, hey, when I'm painting, like you, Nancy, you know, I can look at something, like I can look out my window right now and I see something, right? But I can come back in an hour and it looks different. Or I can move 10 feet to my right and it's different. And so what sometimes we get stuck in a business world with, we bring a set of ideas, history, you know, whatever, and we get stuck because we only see it one way. And I tell people, I like you to pick it up and turn it upside down, you know, turn it sideways, look at it, get other people's perspectives. And then make your in picture, if you will, your painting.
I think we're brought up that way in a lot of aspects that we're taught. This is the one way, the only way. This is a fact. And so can't change it. And then the rest, the creative side of us goes, oh yeah, want a bit? Let's change it just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Come on. Let's just like change it just a little bit and see what happens. Because yeah. you can, you know?
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
I find it interesting, the whole thing about making change also and making choice, right? Because change is always happening, you know? When you look at things always changing, there's also, I've been in positions where when working for someone else, which I didn't do very well with, except for I work well for Nancy, you know, she's still the boss, you know, but no matter what.
Oh yeah, right.
You know, but there was always a, you know, don't fix, you know, don't reinvent the wheel, don't fix what's not broken.
Yeah.
And I feel like we don't make choices because we don't look at making a choice because, oh, we've always done it that way. We've always done it that way. We've always done it that way. And that could be the one thing that's actually killing your business or your career.
For sure.
Because you haven't changed up and made that choice to, okay, things are maybe not there. We're in a rocky patch here. And that's where I think you have, it's always a decision. It's every single thing is a decision, a choice. You know, are you going to go down this road? Are you going to, you know, buy this type of paper versus that kind of paper? Or, you know, whatever it is, you know, especially in careers, you know, it's always step by step versus instant. And you talk about that in your book about, you know, the immediate, you know, if I do this, I need to achieve this by this date. And that's that. It doesn't work. There's, you have all these, it's like going through a ladder. Yeah. It's step by step.
Yeah. Well, you know, what really was sort of the background of this book is one of the things I noticed with clients was that if there was something they thought they should change, where it's a behavior shift, a habit, you know, whatever it might be. If they made an intentional choice to make the change, they committed to it, they were willing to be held accountable, their success rate was 100%. And I'm like, 100% is a pretty good number.
I like that.
That's pretty good too.
Yeah, it's a good number. And but what they also had to understand, which gets a little bit Lisa to where you were going with that, is I'm a big believer in baby steps. And that if you want to make a big change, let's talk about something you can do in the next 2 weeks that will start to help you move toward that change.
Right.
You know, you may have a vision of what it's going to be when you get there, and I hope you do. But a lot of people can't change because it feels too big.
Yeah. Fear. Fear of failure. Isn't that part of it? And I think also
when
you're doing baby steps, we talk a lot about excellence versus success. I mean, our show is called Success Express. Mm-hmm. Well, you can have the only way you're going to have the success in an express way is through the baby steps. You have a series of successes to live a life of excellence in a business or a personal. So that's kind of where I always look at it is if you want this at the end, you're going to get bored as soon as you achieve it. So you might as well just go, I'm going to do a bunch of achievements. Just start doing a bunch of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you'll have some failures. And you know what? Cool.
That's
failure
fine.
Leads to success. It really does. It always does.
Learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's exactly it. If you don't learn from it, then you really do have a problem. So whatever happens, you have to deal with it. It's much easier to deal with it in baby steps than one huge giant step, because that's a biggie. Like I know I've done a couple of big giant steps, and that's a big learning curve, and you gotta run to keep up then, and not go backwards, but you have a lot more to handle than you would otherwise if you were doing baby steps.
I don't know if you have seen this. I bet you have with all the time that you probably are traveling and stuff, but you ever seen the movie, What About Bob?
Oh, now there's a...
No, when, I haven't seen that.
No, I think I have.
It's a comedy. I highly recommend it.
Okay, we can get it on YouTube.
And yeah, you can get it. And I won't, because you're going to get it, I won't give away any secrets of it, except it's really funny. Richard Dreyfuss and Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And it's about a psychiatrist.
Yes, it is funny. I remember this now as you said that.
And it's crazy patient. Okay. But here's why I have clients, other than giving clients a good laugh, because sometimes they need it. The other thing that I want them to do in it is Dr. Marvin gives the patient, he's just written a book. That sounds familiar, huh? So, you know, his book, and he's giving it to everybody. Well, the book is called Baby Steps. And the whole plot of the movie centers around that the patient took a baby step and it worked. And he got hooked on baby steps. And so then baby step to the door, baby step to the elevator, baby step to it. And I just thought, why not have a good laugh? But I want you to get the idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. You know, also, you know, with your book and talking about baby steps, I think your book coming out now and today, everybody, The Art of Choice is out now by Terry Warren. Go to warrenexecutivecoach.com, but go in there.
Right.
This is the thing. COVID and this whole pandemic really has, I think we're dealing with change and choice, making decisions now more than ever on so many levels. You know, even if you look at students going, am I going to still go to college in this way? Or am I going to do more online learning? There's, you know, people going, hey, do I really want to go back to a brick and mortar office when I don't have to? I think even I look at tourism and travel, You know, we've been discussing this with, you know, the hospitality, you know, our friends in the industry, and they're like, okay, is tourism going to be the same? Or is it going to be where, hey, not everybody's going out and in mass quantities of people in one town for a weekend, where because of online, you know, working from home and being able to be digital like us, we can all be nomads, you know what I mean? And go in midweek versus weekend. So I think we're up for the next 5 years is going to be a really, and I think I've got the number of that. I think it's going to be a 5 year twirl around of what we're all going to be doing, because everything has changed and it keeps changing. And there's all kinds of things, not just pandemics. There is the climate change. There is, you know, so much, that people are having to make decisions, and it's on a personal level, it's on a business level, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think your book is really well timed for it. What was your, you know, when you said, oh, I'm going to write a book, and I know you've got a lot of leaders that you're worked with on this too, but what was it that said, hey, everyone needs this after a pandemic, or what inspired you?
No, what happened was, I told you I saw this, thing, you know, this trend that 100% success rate when they were intentional.
Yeah.
And of course I was convinced it was because I'm the greatest coach in the entire world, right? Not. So I decided to test to see if other people who did not have me as a coach, if that had been critical in their career. Mm. So I started with a friend of mine who turned Sonic around many years ago. And I just went and sat down with them and I said, tell me a story about a time that you made a choice that then impacted the rest of your career. Mm. And he told me one. And I also noticed his excitement when he started telling me this story. And I said, well, who else should I talk to? And he gave me two or three people. And then they gave me two or three people. And it ended up with 21 people from a variety of industries, all very successful people across the country. And each of them had some kind of choice change that followed that pattern of intentional, committed accountability. Mm. And I was like, there's something to this. Mm-hmm. This can help people. Because it never has been my intention to write a book. I had zero interest in it. I don't consider myself an author, you know, any of those things. Thankfully, I had a writing coach who said, we can do this. And she stood over me with a whip. And,
I was going to say, yeah, I know how those coaches are.
But this lady, Amy Lyles Wilson is her name. She's here. But she knew how to just get words out of me. Mm. And then she could take those and make something of it.
Nice.
And the more that started to happen, the more it was like, I think this can help people. Mm. Somehow, I think this can really help. And that's the goal. You know, it's just, I want whoever reads it, for it to be something that helps them with some change, some choice, you know, and the size of that, it doesn't matter to me how big it is. It's different for different people.
Right. And I think it goes further, you know, because there's only so many hours in a day for you. This is a way for people, you know, internationally that can do it. Do you see yourself using the book now, you know, as it's out? I know novelists have book clubs. And, you know, then through Zoom and everything that we're all doing now, they can sit down and talk to a group and answer questions. Do you see yourself doing anything like that virtually with people reading the book?
I can't imagine why not.
Yeah. It would be cool.
You know, I got over my fear of being in front of groups a long time ago. So, you know, I'm happy to do that live, and I'm hoping there'll be some things like that where, you know, if nothing more, if some group of people have looked at the book and just wanted to just talk about it and just talk through situations that are real for them, let's make it have life.
Mm-hmm. I think it helps people not have the fear of making choices. And sometimes we're in this position, like I say, everything's changed now with the pandemic, that we're actually, we'll box ourselves in into a situation that's negative instead of that taking action. And that's what I think choice mm-hmm. Is about taking action.
Yeah, I have a, I can't say where, but let's just say I have an international client mm-hmm. that I just started working with. And there's an assessment tool I use. And it looks at how people make decisions in work and life. Mm-hmm. And when I saw his test scores, the life side of it was terrible. Mm-hmm. The work stuff was great. And so where we started was, here's the choice you need to think about. Your work stuff is good, but if we don't fix your life stuff, you're on a derailing path for your career. And it got his attention. And he's working on the life side of it, balance and, you know, the kinds of things he needs to do. And we talked about today, as a matter of fact, do you see how what you just told me actually has application in your work? And he's like, yeah. Like, you mean listening to my child more?
Oh, I see.
You know, yeah. And how does that apply to people I work with?
Hmm. Yeah.
So there are all kinds of choices or changes that people need to make. And they interact with other things that they do.
So what do you think about the pace that we live at? Maybe more so before the pandemic. I don't know, when people are living at home, I think some of them are feeling a little bit, it's too many people in the same place for me to work. And some of them are finding it way more relaxed and actually can choose their hours and get more done. So it's different, but you know, we've lived in different countries, and this country's pace, their lifestyle, is way more hectic than other yes. countries. And so I'm wondering if this will change when everything's open again. Yeah, we'll have to social distance, but maybe we will also just tone it down a bit. Not be so crazy. Everything has to be done all at once in 12 hours, and just maybe not move so fast so we can actually really think. Not think we're thinking, but think.
Well, you know, there's sort of, there's two different paths I could go with that. But one of the things that I really like to have people start thinking about is, let's talk about the word what's essential. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's different than what feels important or urgent. You know, what's essential? And what that to me means is, if I take the time to focus on this, even if some other stuff gets left off, over time, it'll have a greater payoff. And I don't necessarily mean financially. Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. If you start to think about what's essential versus what's urgent and important, it gives you a little bit of that relief, right? From the, mm-hmm. the feeling that everything's got to be done at once.
Yeah.
So I think that's very important. And the other thing I've seen during COVID is, what's been hard is setting boundaries.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And that during COVID or after COVID, if you can learn to set boundaries, you don't have to live at the kind of pace that we were talking about. I'm not saying you want, this is not a faster paced country, and you know, you still got to do that, but there are ways to set boundaries to make it feel like it's mm-hmm. not as overwhelming. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, you don't need to have your phone on 24/7. And then, and the other big boundary, you know, during COVID is, you don't need to have your hand in the cookie jar all the time because your home woman could do the baking.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
Exactly.
But, you know, but that's the whole thing. It's like, I like that you're using the word choice even, because mm-hmm. I think we also forget when things are really, you know, difficult in life, we forget that we still have choices. We always yes. have a choice. Sometimes you just may not like your options, but you're going to have to yeah. make a choice, because if you don't, mm-hmm. your choice is going to be made for you, you know?
Well, you know, sometimes your choice is really how you choose to think about something. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. there are situations that we all get in that are real, that are heartbreaking, they're mm-hmm. difficult, they're not what we would have, and I get that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a choice whether I choose to live in that, mm-hmm. in my mind. You know, I had a coach. By the way, one of the things I do as a coach is I try to keep a coach every once in a while.
Yeah, I was reading that. And I was like, okay, yeah, you've got a coach yeah. too.
Yeah.
Well, I had it. One of the things one of my coaches said, and I think it's in the book, and I tried to say it a little differently than he did, only because it confused me a little bit till I thought about it. But it's this idea of how you think about something. What he said to me one day when I was talking about this problem I had, he said, is the problem the problem? Or is how you think about the problem the problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Nancy does that to me all the time, actually. She kind of says that to me. She's like, are you sure? But she doesn't say the problem. She says, are you sure it's not just your attitude? You know, but you know, it is true, because yeah. we get in our own way.
It is true.
We do mm-hmm. get in our own way all the time. Mm-hmm. And yeah. and also, I think there's also sometimes a lack of confidence. When you really want this over here, there's times where you don't really have that belief in yourself that you could do it, you know? And that's where I think those baby steps you're talking about are so crucial. Absolutely. So you can build confidence, but not build that ugly confidence, you know what I mean? That, you know, that big swollen head that you can't fit in the room, you know, because we don't want that.
I had this conversation last mm-hmm. week with a high level CEO in a global company who secretly is struggling with some confidence
oh.
that he might be given something to do that he doesn't know how. And so there's this fear of what if I do it wrong? And so we talked about in very short is the idea of look back at history. What is your history with being put in situations you've never been in before? Well, I've had a lot of them. Have you been able to get through those? Yes. Okay. So history says I'm presented with something I don't know. I find a way to get through it. What if you stop thinking about what you can do and start thinking about how have I historically dealt with that? And then bring that as a process to whatever's next.
Mm-hmm.
It reduces the fear, it increases the confidence, but it doesn't say I'm cocky and I know everything.
Right.
Mm.
Right. That's I think that's a really good thing for people to think of. I mean, and that's the importance of history, right? And even if you didn't do things correctly, you can go, okay, what did I do wrong? Let's not do that again. You know,
exactly. Right.
You have to learn.
Boy, that hurt before.
I know. Yeah. Trust me.
It's like, I don't think I want to do that again.
I don't remember that. But and we tend to shelve that away, because you talk about accountability. That's the thing. If we don't take ownership of situations, good or bad, we cannot move on. So then no, it's almost like you're lying to yourself. You know, so you've got to look at history. There's painful stuff. Maybe we did something really wrong and, you know, messed up a whole bunch of things, whatever it could be. But if you don't, okay, take owner, I messed that up. And this is how I messed it up. Was it intentional? Well, if it's intentional, well, then that's when you call a psychologist and get some help on that side. But if you didn't, then you go, okay, well, this is where I really messed up and I can do better because of this. You know, I think those things are really important. Curve. It is your yeah. learning curve. You have to yeah. go through school and you're going to have to trip to know how to jump, you know?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh man, this is cool. This is exciting mm-hmm. about your book. getting out there and getting people to think and write things down? Are you a believer in writing things down when you're making the decisions?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is one of the homework assignments that I give, not every time I'm talking with a client, depends on what they're doing. But let's just say stress. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the homework assignments is, all I want you to do is make a list. Mm-hmm. Make me a list of the things that are causing you stress. I don't want you, I'm not asking you to do anything about it. I'm just asking you to list them. Mm-hmm. Later, we can talk about what you do about it. But the truth is, I find, at least for myself, and I've found it with my clients, just the process of making that list actually relieves stress.
Mm. Yeah, now you know the monsters, you know?
Yeah, if you can name it.
Yeah, but if you can't name it, then you think everything's coming from everywhere, you know?
Yep.
And you're not really fighting back or making changes. You're just taking the punches, but in a sense, you're punching yourself. Because if I like to just calm down, mm-hmm. take a chill pill, I like make a list, okay, and then figure out from the list what's the most important. Mm-hmm. Feel free to change it at any time.
Well, actually, I think it takes the emotion out of it. Because like when you make a list and you're talking about the stressful parts, mm-hmm. when you're writing something down, you're looking at it going, you know what, this is actually the bigger stressor. And mm-hmm. just because I'm stressed out, all of it's stressful. And this little thing over here, that wasn't actually that bad, but it is because it's kind of that everything's annoying me mode.
You know, it's interesting, and this is how the simple becomes so important. There is one very, very simple 1 minute thing that is tremendous about changing stress. It's called pause. Mm-hmm. Just pause. Mm-hmm. Chill out 1 minute, mm-hmm. not 10. I've actually seen people get up, walk around their chair, and sit back down, and their stress level went down. It's the idea, mm-hmm. you start to feel all of this. I had one friend, she never actually became a client, but she was really got upset on phone calls. Mm. And after we talked about this idea of pause, she made a little bitty stop sign and put it on her phone.
Oh, cool.
And when she was getting ready to reach for the phone, she saw the stop sign. And she would just pause. Mm-hmm. And wait a minute and then pick up the phone. She said it was tremendously different.
That
sounds silly. It sounds stupid. It works.
No. Yeah. Sounds good, actually.
Yeah.
You know, because I think we just get in this like this mode of hitting ourselves against this wall, that wall, just being bong boing and going all over the place, all over the map, but you're busy, but you're not really accomplishing that much because mm-hmm. you're not thinking it through before you act, you know? Right. So it is just to calm down and take things one at a time. It sounds slower, but it's actually faster. Mm. Like the tortoise and the hare kind of thing to me.
Mm-hmm. I'm the hare.
I'm the tortoise.
well, but this is, you know, speaking of lists with that, you know, when you're writing a list, like I was saying, it kind of diffuses the emotions, right? And gets down to brass tacks. Taking that pause moment before you write the list really helps. And even pausing every time you write something down helps you, your brain take it all in. Writing all these lists, I mean, not just the stressor, but that's part of making the choice is that pause. I mean, when you talk about the art of choice, I think a huge part of the art is you need to pause. You can't paint a painting nonstop without taking a break. Music won't be good music if you don't take a pause and add the dynamic in there. So I think mm-hmm. that's the important thing is pausing so that you can actually know what you're even making a choice about. And what is your history with it? Do you have any history? What's the history with the situation? Whatever it mm-hmm. is, you've got to make that list. And I think a lot of us just don't take that time. I mean, I remember mm-hmm. gosh, when I was in my 20s, going to a conference. And remember Franklin Daytimers? Benjamin Franklin, or the Franklin Daytimers. I loved those daytimers because it was all about, at the end of the day, writing everything down, listing it, knowing what you're doing the next morning. So you don't have that panic at night where it's swirling in your head. You know, what are you supposed to do? Right. Mm-hmm. But they also talked about making decisions, even in sales. They call it the Benjamin Franklin clause, where you put the two lists of things, you know, oh, if you're buying a car, which I did try to sell cars and that didn't last. That was a choice to get out of that right away. I'm not good at it, but it would be like, okay, you've got this car or that car, write all the things that are great about this car, write all the things that are great about that car, and who's got the longest list, you know what I mean? So it's kind of that thing, but it all comes down to, I think, a list, like what you're talking about, you know?
Well, just a simple example is I work a lot with MBA students at a local university.
Oh, cool.
And they're looking to do interviews for internships or, you know, interviews for a job after, and they're just talking about which job, I mean, because the options actually are tremendous for them. And what I talk to them about, and I actually talk to people at retirement about this, mid-career about this, what I want you to do first is make two lists. What are the must-haves? And what are the must not haves for you? Okay. So if you're going to do something different, let's say it's a job, just as an example, it doesn't have to be a job. What must be present for you to know you're going to get satisfaction from that? And it's a must. It's not a what's nice to have. What must be there? What if it's what of these on the other side? If this is present, you know you won't be happy in that role.
Right.
What is that? Because that looks different for you than it does for me.
Sure.
But if you don't know that, how are you going to gauge what's next? Yeah, there's stuff you won't like. You know, welcome to the world. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
but there's stuff you can put up with.
If you make a choice to do it. If you make a choice.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like this. It's very cool. You know, just getting everyone to pause and kind of, I just want people, just that art of choice to even recognize that as part of your life and your business. You know, it's something I remember once a good friend of ours, Nancy and I were making some magazine decisions. It was a few years back, and her and I can be like little bickering sisters at times. And we're sitting there going, well, we could do this, and we get excited. And it's like, no, let's do this instead. And she came in there and we were having a little wine. And she said, I'm going to take the wine away from you girls. This is what you're going to do. You're all going to go. You're going to go in your room and you're going to, this is funny. She has a bed and breakfast. Yeah. So we had our own rooms. You're going to go in your room. You're going to go in your room. You're going to write everything you want to do down. And then you're going to come together like, you know, adult human beings. And then you're going to make your decisions instead of, you know, just write it all down first. And then you can come together and discuss what the next thing to do is. And at that point, once you've made your decision, then you can have your glass of wine. And it worked.
It did work.
And Yeah, I can see how that would work. That worked for me too.
I know. She's really funny about it. She's like, "That's it." Well, right. She knew there was
the
a time
were not.
It was after
the lists weren't that different.
No, it turned out they weren't. Yeah. But that's just because we were like, "Oh, this, oh, that," instead of just going and thinking it all through on our own. And I think we need those moments of just really spending time with ourselves. And that's why I think where Nancy was talking about it's like helter skelter everything, you know. Having those moments to reflect. A lot of interviews we've done over the pandemic, the people are upset. They miss their friends. They miss their colleagues. Obviously, the personal connection or the in-person connection. But some people are like, I actually got to think about it. And that's why, again, you know, the pandemic, there's a lot of choices being made because life has changed. But some people are at home going, hey, you know what? This is and maybe out of necessity, this is time to start that new business or I can do this side career over here. You know, maybe I'm going to write a book, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that it's because people are actually able to spend some time. And I think we kind of, it's a pity it's a pandemic and people lost lives. But so it's not a positive on that, but there is lessons that we can learn from the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that is part of that.
For sure.
Yeah. One of the questions that I asked probably midway through the pandemic of a number of my clients, because at that point I thought it was toward the end, it wasn't midway.
Yeah.
But was around the idea of, is there anything that you were doing before the pandemic that you've not been able to do because of the pandemic that you want to make sure you don't start back doing after the pandemic?
Uh-oh, cookies.
Right?
See, but that's true, yeah. I wonder if we got more efficient too, or effective in our work. Like Nancy, you were talking about that with people, you know, changing their hours accordingly and getting more done and being more productive.
There's a lot of people at home with their families who now are taking time with their families and still able to get their work done. One of the factors is the long commute some people drive to get to work. You know, an hour and a half, 2 hours one way. And then, so there's 3-4 hours right there. That's a big chunk of your day and a lot of stress depending on what freeway you're on. By the time you get to work, you're tired, you know? So I think there's thought that way. Now they're at home, they're able to do the same amount of work, even more, and have time with their family and less mileage on their car.
Yeah. But one of the things that this goes back to the boundary discussion, you know, one of the things that I ask people to think about, let's use that great commute example. Let's say it's an hour commute. Here's where this boundary thing starts to come in.
Yeah.
So what do I do with that hour? Or now, let's say it's an hour each way. What do I do with 2 hours? Yeah. Do I just fill it by doing even more work? Mm. Or do I now have an option open to me that I never had before? And how will I use that gift? You know, one of the things I'm a person, just maybe it's just my nature, but I always like to think about what's possible now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, might not have been possible before. And it doesn't have to be the pandemic. It could be at anything. Mm-hmm. But what's possible now because I'm where I am now? So with the pandemic, what's possible now that wasn't possible 6 months ago or a year ago? And so what will I do with that possibility?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. And also the fact that, you know, you've talked about this, you know, looking at history, right? But you're also looking about time in the present moment, because we also need to look at the amount of time, you know, our every breath, every minute, every second counts, you know, and I think that's another lesson from the pandemic. It all counts and we want to live our best lives. So you've got to factor that in with decision-making. You know, are you going to be happy? We're allowed to be. And I think careers and business, you should enjoy it. You know, it shouldn't be one of those, oh, I have to go to work, you know?
Exactly.
You know, you should enjoy it. And I think there's a way for everyone to enjoy what they do. You know, of course, like you're saying, we're going to have some of the stuff we don't want to do, you know, grin and bear it.
There's things that have to be done that aren't that much fun in every vocation. Every job is going to have some of that. So that's just part of being alive. So, you know, you can either make fun of it, sing while you do it, just do it, get it done, or you can make it bigger and more awful than it is by keep returning to say how much you don't like it or change it.
The other day I hired a new virtual assistant to help me with my coaching business and not for a lot of hours, you know, just a little bit. And she said, well, what would you have me do? And I said, well, the answer is everything I don't want to do. And I said, that's just truthful, you know. I just don't want to do it. I could do it. I don't want to do it. I could paint or I could goof off or, you know, whatever. And I said, are you okay with that? And she was like, yeah, that's what I do. I said, okay, we're good.
Cool. Done. See? Yeah. I like all these little, you know, these little decisions equate to big happiness, you know. That's really what it's about in work. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you're really connecting the work, the personal and the business life together. That they're
I never, you know, people talk about balance, and a lot of people think of that as it means 50-50 somehow. I never think of it that way.
Yeah.
Balance to me is I'm able to do the things I need and want to do, right? And not be so stressed out about it. And yes, there are periods where, and I could for sure when I was in corporate America, where there might be a period where I'm gone 90% of the time. My wife didn't like that. I didn't like that. But we knew that for that period, it was just necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want that to be a forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we'd go, okay, that's for a period. Now let's get back and get this thing, you know, where it should be again. And then there may be something comes up on the life side we didn't expect. And for a while, that may need my focus. And yes, I still got to get stuff done, but my mind is not thinking I'm always in this.
Mm. That's a good way of doing it. It's temporary. Mm. Everything. Yeah. Nothing stays the same, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I like that. Well, excited about your book being out, and everyone, WarrenExecutiveCoach.com, Amazon, all those places, Barnes & Noble. Now, you know, before you go, we want to see your cookies, their bookies. Can you show us your bookies?
Oh.
Because look, we do so much work with Books Forward. They are awesome, awesome. In fact, this is our Books Forward
That's
show,
so cool.
The Art of
Can
Choice.
Can you see that?
Yes. Yeah. That's his That's bookie, because awesome. His book is out today, and he gets to have a cookie.
Yeah. Yeah, it just showed up in my mail, and I'm like, oh, that's really cool.
Now did cool. you eat it?
Of course.
Not yet.
I got a box of them.
Oh, you got a whole box.
Oh.
Yeah, so I have six grandchildren, cool. so I've reserved one for each of them.
Well, that's
And then
good.
One for my writing coach. Of course, she'll get one. And one or two other lucky people will get one. That's it. They're gone then, but.
Well, we're coming to see you.
That's cool.
You better hurry.
Well, I want to give a shout out to Books Forward. We do a lot of author interviews and author shows with them. We've been working with them for about, I'm going to say almost 20 years, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe. Wow. I don't know. I can't keep up. But they represent really some of the best authors, you know, as far as we, you know, you're one of them, you know. So it's they really do. And it's we can trust them. Because right. of who they represent, you know, we always know, oh, we're interested in this and just don't get disappointed. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just, a request. May I leave your viewers / listeners with just a question to think about?
Sure.
This is a baby step. What is one thing you could do in the next 2 weeks that would make you have one step towards something that you want?
Not eat the cookie.
Save it for us. Smiling, he's not saying anything.
Saying it will help my waistline.
Hey, if that works for you.
You know, well, it helps. It does. Well, I'm just, you know, we gotta have some fun with the baby steps, but it's true. Yes. I mean, it is, it goes right down to that.
That's a good
it?
Question.
I like that. Now, with something like that, would you ask that to yourself every day or like every 2 weeks? Okay, let's do another thing. After the 2 weeks,
I would say it depends on when you do it.
Yeah,
you know, if your baby step is, I'll give you one example. One of my first clients had written a book, but she was stuck and wasn't moving, and she decided to hire me as a coach, and we talked about this. What's one thing? We met in 2 weeks, and she said I shipped it off to an editor.
See.
She went mm-hmm. did it the same day. Mm. So she could have done more baby steps than that. No.
Yeah.
But it was just like, what's that one thing? That was a step, mm. right? That she had been stuck. And what she learned was, you know what? That wasn't a hard step. Maybe mm-hmm. I'll make the next one the next time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it depends on the baby step. It depends on what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's exciting. You know, mm-hmm. that to plan your life and look at the possibilities and to start acting upon them. It's exciting because when you start to see things shift, that's how you get, you know, a stream, a little stream can turn into a river. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's that. Yeah. And it's exactly. exciting. And you really start to be happy in life when you do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, instead of being, you know, upset at work, if you don't like where you're working or the career that you're in, you can start the baby steps and you don't have to just jump sure. ship. And I think sometimes we get so frustrated mm-hmm. that we'll just turn around and go, I quit. And then you're like, uh-oh.
Really?
Now what?
What you do know? I do now, right?
Yeah, then you have yeah. to ask that question. Right. What am I going to do in, like, you know, 2 hours to change my position, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think we can get ourselves into those really extreme situations. Sometimes they're good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to just to kind of give yourself a jolt.
Sometimes when you do those big things, then your next 2 years are full of all the little baby steps you should have done before.
Yeah.
Just to catch up to yourself.
Yeah.
Make it work.
Two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, yeah. one step back.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you again for joining us. I want to make sure everybody has a book title. It's The Art of Choice, Making Changes That Count in Work and Life. Again, you can go to warrenexecutivecoach.com. And we want to thank you all for joining us here on Big Blend Radio. Keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Our shows air Sunday through Friday. You can choose your channel. Just go to bigblendradio.com. Thanks so much. It was such a pleasure chatting with you, Terry.
Thank you. It was great fun. Great fun.
Yeah.
Good.
Wish you well and some air conditioning.
Oh, yeah. No, we do have a little. No, we do. But thank you and enjoy the cookies.
Yes.
Thanks. But you don't.
No, I don't get them. I'm being good. I haven't had a cookie in.
I'm right here.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to say anything. I'm oh, well. All right. Take care.
All right. See ya. Thank you.
Okay.